These past few weeks we've been zeichet to taste a little bit of the delicious time of Menuchas HaNefesh, at least the time of talking about Menuchas HaNefesh. To live that way, of course, it requires a tremendous amount of avoda. We spoke last week about Menuchas HaNefesh being a life that's flowing with milk and honey. And we spoke about how Eretz Zavas, Cholov and Dvash, milk and honey, is a tikkun, is the only way that we can overcome the klal of the curse of Bereishis, of Beitzav and Teichelana, of the misery and of the sadness, the despair, the depression that comes with a person living a life working just working just for that day, working for that moment, and not feeling the mesikos, the sweetness that we spoke about, that time of the hargoshev hasogas hamator, feeling that he's working towards a great and noble objective and goal in his life. And because of that, life becomes filled, when a person doesn't have that, life becomes filled with psoilas, with this feeling that the vast majority of what I'm doing in my life really ends up in the garbage can. It ends up as psoilas, it's yegia of hevel harik, it's mostly futility and nairishkeit. Therefore, we learned that Hashem is Baruch gave us, in particular, three sources in life: in olam, in physical space; in shama, in time; and in nefesh, the soul, from where we could draw the cholov and dvash, the milk and honey of life, where everything is tachlis, everything is machevosa ba'alamai. What's my responsibility in life? Everything gives a person that feeling that I'm working towards the ultimate tachlis of dir b'sachtayim, of Hashem Yisbarach being in this world, of kirvus olikim li'tayv, of being close to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And we spoke about how in physical space, of course, that's Eretz Yisrael, that's Yerushalayim, that's the Beis HaMikdash, in physical space, that's the place, Sois Menuchasi Adayad, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, when you're in Yerushalayim, when you're Beis HaMikdash, everything is Cholov and Dvash, that's the Baruch of Eretz Yisrael, of Cholov and Dvash, where everything is for that ultimate Tachlis of Ahay Hashem HaMelech, and you could feel it. In time, we spoke about Shabbos, Chemdas HaYomim, the most desired of all days, the Tachlis Shemayim, Ma'isi Shemayim Va'aretz. It's Shabbos. And in the Nefesh and the soul, we spoke about the soul of the Tzaddik. We spoke about the Bracha of Naftali. Naftali Svaratzen Molei Birkas Hashem. Naftali Svaratzen Molei Birkas Hashem. The Naftali is satisfied, always feels full, because he's filled with the Birkas Hashem, because only the Birkas Hashem can give a person that feeling of being full, of being satiated, because he knows that this is the Tachlis. We spoke about Yosef HaTzadik, and the Brach of Yosef HaTzadik, Mevarechas Hashem Aretzo, that Yosef HaTzadik was not distracted by this world, by the wife of Potiphar. He remained focused on the Tachlis, and therefore the Bracha of Vitzayin Shaykh Nisneh, of the milk and honey of Eretz Yisrael, is connected specifically to Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik, of course, means every Tzadik, because when we're next to a Tzadik, we feel that this is the Tachlis. He knows why we're here in this world, and he lives constantly with that feeling, with that thought of Hasogas HaMatar, of achieving that objective, that goal for which we were all created. Throughout this time, we've been trying to understand our Yisayid, our Sugi of Nuchas HaNefesh, through the parashias that we're living through. So we're living through the parasha, a difficult parasha, of the Meraglim, of the spies, and the mistake that was made, and we're still suffering from this. And as the Svarim HaKadoshim all tell us, we ourselves, the Sfasambis and Tafresh Laman Aleph, all the Svarim tell us that we were sent into this world to be good Meraglim, good shlichei mitzvah, that we're supposed to do our job and to see what we're supposed to see and come back with an accurate report to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and we're still failing. It began with Bonu El Ha'aretz Asher Shlachtonu. The Meraglim come back and say, we went to the place, we went to the land that you sent us to, the Gam Zavas Chol V'Dvashi, and they acknowledged it is a land flowing with milk and honey, the Gam Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvashi. Nevertheless, even though they were able to recognize the chashivas, the importance and the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, they came to the conclusion, lo nuchal la'alos, we can't go up. It's not possible. We can't do it. And from there, vayomru ish al achiv, nitna roish v'neshuv mitzrayim. Not only that, they recommended, as a result of their fact-finding mission, they recommended, let us all go back to Mitzrayim. Let's return to the Shiga'on, to the craziness of Mitzrayim. Eretz Yisrael, there's an Indian of Eretz Yisrael, there's Avos Chalav Udvash, it's very nice, but it's not for now. For now we have to return to Manhattan, to Muncie, to the Five Towns, to Queens, to Brooklyn, to Paris, to London, to Paris or London, wherever it is that Jews are running around, trying to figure out how they got stuck in the hevel and rick of a life without Chalav and Dvash. And that was their recommendation. And each Jew said to the other, Nit Nareish from the Shuv Mitzrayim, let's go back to Mitzrayim. There were two Jews, Yehoshua and Kalev, who screamed out, Im Chofetz Banu Hashem, if the Banu Shalom wants us, Behevi Yisano al Aharetz Azayis, then the Banu Shalom will bring us to this land, Unisan Alon, and he'll give it to us, Eretz Asher Hi Zavas Cholav Udvash, a land that is truly flowing with milk and honey. Yeshua and Kalev, of course, were the only ones. And as a result of that, their voices were unheard, and Lamaisa, what took place was, Ufigrechem itam yiplu b'midbar hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu said that you're all going to die. This generation is going to die in the desert. Uvenechem yirayim b'midbar arbayim shana. And your children are going to be draying around, are going to be wandering around the desert for 40 years. The 40 years, of course, means all of these years of Galus as well, since everybody knows that because of the Meraglim, because of that horrible Tisha B'Av, we still have Tisha B'Av, and we're still crying on Tisha B'Av. And we're still dragging around in the Midbar, in the desert, trying to find our way. And we, as we spoke about some weeks ago, Rabbi Yosher Ber's explanation of spiritual nomadism, of a nov and nod, of not knowing who you are and what you're supposed to be doing, of draying in life from one thing to the next. The question is, what happened? What happened? And what's still happening? So I want to share with you a Torah from the great Mashgiach of Mir, the Tzaddik Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham's Torah is the first one in the published writings on Chumash that are a collection of his teachings. So the first Torah in Bereishis, not in the longer Mamarim, but in the Biurim. And I must read with you this paragraph. It would be better to talk if it was in front of you, but I'll read to you this paragraph. It's the aside of everything we're talking about. We're going to be coming back to this for months, Mitzvah, to this Rabbi Yerucham. And it's very clear. Ki hine kol anshei tevel. Rabbi Yerucham says, all of the people of the world, ein lahem kol yediya mishum seder u'mishtar asher ba'olam. They don't have any idea, any concept of a seder, of any order, u'mishtar, or discipline seder in the world. Ha'adam noilad. A person is born, chai es chayev, he lives his life, mevala yamav, he spends his life doing whatever he did, umais, and he dies. Zakol, das is das. That's the whole story. Misalim hu, in our terminology, he doesn't have a clue. V'ein lo yediya lo me'eza shehi haschola v'lo me'eza shehi tzayif. He doesn't have an idea, a clue, about how this all began, why did this start, where does this all come from, v'lo me'eza shehi tzayif, and what's the tachlis, where is this all going, like what am I part of? He doesn't have any idea of that. Ein hu roya bebriya lo es hakivun v'lo es hamegama. He doesn't see in creation any direction, any kivun. V'lois hamagami doesn't see any purpose or any ultimate objective or goal. Lois hamahalach, v'lois haseder. He doesn't see any mahalach, and there's no seder. Lo reishis v'lo achris. There's no beginning. There's no end. Hakol nira be'enav. Everything appears in his eyes. Kichalokim mifurokim mikutaim. Everything in his eyes seems to be broken fragments and pieces of life, of existence. separate pieces and fragments of existence. Zeir Sham, a little here and a little there. Lelo Hemshech, there's no Hemshech. There's nothing connecting one piece to another piece. There's nothing that binds together. There's no great, bigger objective or goal, no beginning or end, that holds all of these little pieces together. It's just pieces. With no Hemshech, without anything that holds them all together, all the pieces together. And therefore, kol hayiloidim al birkeim, all who are born into this type of a life, rak mehuma b'chol yemeihem, all of their lives is a tumult, turmoil, mehuma, confusion. In their very essence, seichel kulam b'mahalach echad shel bilbul v'irbuvia. Everybody's mind is in a continuous state of bewilderment and confusion. Loikein hamazgadlam al yitzurei ha'Torah. This is not the case of those who are growing in the world of Torah. Obviously, means you have to really, really live this way that we're learning. Not just that you officially are a member, but you actually live this way. And how do the misgadlim al yitzurei ha'Torah live? Those who are raised in Torah and limud ha'Torah, masig ha'adam bihirus uberirus, with learning Torah and growing in Torah, a person acquires more and more clarity, bihirus uberirus, discernment and clarity. As we've been learning, it becomes clear and true to you. You realize it. You see it clearly. Royahu, what do you see? Rabbi Yochum says, Royahu, ki omnam yeseidu umishtar nachoin libri. He sees that it's not hefke. It's not a trillion pieces. There's a seder. There's a seder. There's a mahalach. There's an order. Hakol b'mahalach b'kivun. Everything's in a mahalach. Everything's in a kivun. Everything has, it looks like it's crazy, but everything is following a mahalach and a kivun. That's why we see in Chumash, we see, especially in the parashas of Bereishis, where it's so hard for us to understand the connection between one thing and another. So we have one scene in Chumash where we see that Yosef is being sold into Mitzrayim. And it's like, this is the craziest thing. And then the Torah like switches. You know, Yosef, the whole thing with Yosef Mitzrayim, and then Yehuda all of a sudden has this funny relationship with Tamar, this mysterious relationship with this woman, and from that relationship comes out Mashiach Tzekeinu, ultimately, right? Peretz and Zerah come out from that, the twins. So when you're looking at it, it looks like, what are these different scenes? What does one thing have to do with the other? And the Shemesh Baruch says through Chazal that Yosef is busy going down to Mitzrayim. They're busy selling him. And Reuven is Isaac b'sakov v'tanis. Reuven is all upset and crying over what he did. And what's Hashem busy with? Hashem is busy weaving the tapestry of Mashiach Tzekeinu, the soul of Mashiach Tzekeinu. Just like stone is destroyed and everything's crazy. The whole world's on fire, exploding. There's no connection, one thing or the other. And then the strangest Maaser is Lot with his daughters. And what's there? David HaMalchus is draining around over there in the middle of Sodom and Amorah. What's Sosi David Avdi? There's a Mahalach. There's a Seder. And Rabbi Yochum says, V'gam es Yeshu Sohu. And not only that, the person, the individual little Jew, he looks at himself and he begins to realize as he learns more and grows more, he sees that he's also part of this. Roa hu b'soich ha-pilpul. He looks at all of life and all of history as a great pilpul. Like, you know, you have a complicated pilpul in learning with kashas and terutsim, back and forth, questions, answers, but complicated sugya. He sees that he's in the pilpul. He's in this. He's in the pilpul. Can you imagine the most exciting thing that you're learning in Gemara and Bava Metzia, and all of a sudden it starts talking about you? I mean, it goes along with this good stuff. Can you imagine, like, the Gemara starts to say, that's me, and you look up and you have, says, I can't believe it, that's me. So this person, Ayid, that grows up in Torah, lives that way. He sees himself in the pilpul. Yitziraso, Hailadaso, he sees his creation, his birth, V'chol Havi also, and all of his life. Lo mildudol is saying it's not dangling separate things that are not connected one to the other. Kiim, how does he see his life? Kiim, his birth, his life. Kiim katabaz b'say hashasharis. He sees it like a link in a long chain. That there's a long chain from Bereishis till Mashiach, and he is a very critical link in that chain from the beginning to end. And he sees himself as a tabaz, as a ring, as a link in that remarkable chain from the beginning to end. Roahu, he sees v'chash es haschol v'gam hasayif. He sees and he feels within him the beginning. He lives with Bereishis and everything that was there, and he knows that that's coursing through his veins and it's driving him forward, and he knows and he believes and he thinks about and he learns about the tachlis of Mashiach. It's a kain of Yerushalayim, the way it's going to be, of Shabbos and of being a tzaddik, and he lives with that right now in the present. He feels the beginning and the end. Mechabek hu b'zrayayisav, Rabbi Yochim says, he embraces, he hugs in his arms as hareishis yachad im ha'achris, the beginning together with the end. A Jew who learns Torah, who lives with the Torah, learns Torah, embraces everything in his long arms that cover from the beginning till end. He embraces the reishis and the achris, the beginning and the end, and he feels every single second the achrayis, the responsibility and the excitement of that. With this yesod, Rabbi Yochum explains an amazing thing. Everybody knows that the Torah begins Bereishis. Rashi brings from Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma tam pasach b'Bereishis. Rabbi Yitzchak asks, why does the Torah have to tell us all of this history? Look, why do we have to know how the world was created and about all these people, the others, the most, the shvatim? What do you have to know about everything in Bereishis? It's just a book. The Torah is a book of instructions of life. It's then we should go right to the mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is Rosh Chodesh, so we should begin with the mitzvah. Achodesh is Elohim in Parshas Bo, or in Shmos. You want to begin Achodesh Elohim, but why with the Indian of Rosh Chodesh? But why the whole history? Like, why do we need this background history and everything that happened with Gracious and Kain and Hevel and so on? So you all know that Rashi brings from Rabbi Yitzchak that the reason for all of this is to tell us that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is the creator of the world, and we have to know that he's the creator of the world. And since he's the creator, he is the one and the only one who decides who gets what, what belongs to who. And therefore the Rebbeinu Shlomo is showing us on Sefer Bereishis all of the events that are taking place, our ancestors from Avraham Avinu coming to Eretz Yisrael, and the struggle to be able to have Eretz Yisrael, our place, that the Baruch Shalom, the Creator, has given us. And all of Bereishis is to tell us, L'Asas L'Ham Nachlas Goyim. In other words, that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. That's what Rashi brings down. It means that all of the stories of creation and of Bereishis are just that we should know that we have the ability to conquer Eretz Yisrael. In other words, that we have to listen to Yeshua and Kalev. They're right. And when they say, Allah, Nalev, Irashnu, we let us go up and conquer the place. But we can. How do we know we can? Because the Baruch Shalom is his world. He promised it to our ancestors, and he told us to go. So the whole Tachlis, the sight of all of Torah, and of every minute of life, is what? Is our entrance to in Eretz Yisrael, is coming to Eretz Yisrael. Sofka Sof, we understand that it's a mitzvah according to the Rambam, according to the Ramban, according to the Rambam, it's not even Poshet. Eretz Yisrael, that's the whole Tachlis. So what's the Rebbeinu Shlom telling us with Bereishis, and what's Rashi explaining to us? An unbelievable thing. Even though the Torah consists of millions of billions of infinite details, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, and millions halachas and minhagim and concepts, ideas and dinim and so on, a million pratim, but we have to know that all of these details, all the millions and trillions of details of Torah that no person has ever finished, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, not even the Vilna Gaon Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Tanoim, not the Maraim, but all of those protom, all of those details are all part of one big sugya that has a beginning and has an end. It's all has one tachlis. All of those protom are links in one chain that binds together all of mankind, all of history, the beginning and the end. And all of, and Rashi has explained this, that all that we have lived and all that the world has experienced and all of the laughter and all the tears of the Jewish people and of each individual person, all of that is one tachlis. The one tachlis is Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't mean the Eretz Yisrael that we see with our eyes, that to us is the most beautiful place, it's wonderful, it's a place where Jews live. It means the tachlis of all tachlis, and which is v'shachanti b'saicham, I will dwell amongst you. Hashem's desire, the ultimate tachlis, the purpose of all creation, and Hashem's desire that binds together the beginning and the end. That desire is what is Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael it's a mountain, and in Yerushalayim, that mountain is the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash is the Kodesh Kodashim, where Shmaya v'Aaron Ashka, that where heaven and earth are finally able to meet. In that place, the Reishis and the Achris, that long chain is revealed to be not a chain that's moving in one direction, but it's revealed as a circle that binds together, connects the Reishis and the Achris. The Tachlis of the Pilpul is revealed in Yerushalayim. And therefore, Rashi is telling us, Bereishis Bor Lukim as the Shemayim v'Esaris, there's a plan. It's a complicated Pilpul. It's a complicated sugya. All of Torah is a million things in Torah. All of history, each person is so complicated. There are a million things in each person. All of this is what? To come to that one thing. Lo says lahem nachlas goyim. I am the creator. There is a people that I've created and there's a land that I've created. And with those people, in that place, at that time of Yom Shekula Shabbos Umenucha, the Reishis, the beginning, and the Achris will be brought back together. Until then, the Baruch Shalom is telling us, every second of your life, of the life of a Jew, every single second of his life, even though it's a detail, and it might seem to be detached and disconnected from everything else in his life and in the world and in history, every second is filled with the chalav and dvash, the milk and honey, of what? Of the tachlis, of the ultimate goal of v'shachanti b'saichem, if I will dwell amongst you. And therefore, in the sugya, like in every sugya of the Mar, whoever learns a sugya knows that the beauty, the breathtaking beauty of a sugya is how every single detail fits together in the most magnificent way. It's such a puzzle, such a beautiful puzzle. And therefore, every Jew who lives with the feeling of that first sentence of Mishil Zasharim, again, Yisoid HaChassidus V'Sharish HaAvay DaHatmima, the Yisoid, the basic Yisoid of all of righteousness, all that we could be. V'Sharish HaAvay DaHatmima, the root of our serving Hashem in a simple and pure way. She is Barav Yis Ameis Eitzel HaAdam, that it must be clear to the person. She is Barav Yis Ameis Eitzel Machay Vosso Ba'alam. What is his obligation? What's the tachlis of his life? Ulamat sarach sheyosim ma'abato umagamosoi b'chol ashehu omel kol yimei chayev. And what must he be focused on? What must he be looking at? That final goal. To look back and remember where I came from. And to look forward to remember where do I have to go. Not to get fablunjit, not to get off track, not to get lost. But to remember. But kol ashehu omel, with everything that he's doing, with learning, with davening, with mitzvahs, when he's at work, when he's on the street, he remembers what's machavos balomi, that he doesn't get messed up, he doesn't get mixed up, he doesn't fall into the bilbul, into the erbuvi, the confusion, the bewilderment of where do I come from, where am I going? My ayin basil, anani haylach, nothing. He doesn't get lost in that chas v'shalom. And therefore he doesn't look at the wrong thing, he doesn't say the wrong thing, because he knows that to do that would mean that I have lost sight of the beginning and the end. That my eyes are not focused on that tachlis of lemat sarach sheyosi ma'abato migamosa kol b'chol ha'ashehu omel kol yimei chayv, all the days of one's life, every moment. And when a person lives this way, then he's able to taste the milk and honey of menuchas ha'nefesh, to feel the menuchas ha'nefesh that comes, as we learned in the first shmuz, that comes with not having like the, you know, the best vacation spot and the relaxing. That's nice, but that's not where menuchas ha'nefesh comes from. The menuchas ha'nefesh comes from what? From a life where you feel that that every single moment is chalav and dvash. Every moment is filled with meaning, with significance, with importance, with chashivas. As Rabbi Yochanan said, "V'chabig b'zrayos of hareishis, hareishis im ha'achris." He embraces in his arms the beginning and the end. There's no such thing as a little Jew. We like to use that term affectionately, but there is no such thing as a little Jew. There's a famous marshal that's brought down in all the Moses Sfarim, and I'm sure you've heard in the past, and you'll hear it in the future. It's a very, very clear marshal. It's a marshal of the difference between two eating establishments, two places where people go out to eat. People go out to eat in restaurants, right? In the Hebrew, it's a misada. People go to restaurants. And people go out to eat at chasnas. Right? Two places where people are not eating at home. They go out to eat in a restaurant, they go out to eat in a chasna. There's a big, 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 big difference. And oy vavoy, you can get mixed up between the two. A restaurant is filled with all kinds of pratim, many, many details are necessary and are involved in a restaurant. You have in the kitchen all the equipment and all the ingredients in the freezer, in the fridge, in the cabinets, and you have the chef and the cooks, and you have the workers, and you have the schleppers, you have everything. A million things are going on in the kitchen. It's a good thing that we don't know what's going on in the kitchen, because then nobody would ever touch any of the food, as it's known to anybody who ever was for a minute in any of those kitchens. And even if you think about how all the drug addict cooks are perspiring over your supper and dripping their perspiration onto your meal, but that's of course nothing that people think about when they're putting down $100 for a hamburger or something. There's a lot of stuff that goes into making your restaurant work. And then the person takes out the menu, and he looks at the menu, and he sees gewalt, prate, pratim on the menu, all kinds of different things that are being offered. It's fantastic. And this is for the entree, and there's a soup, and there's the meal, and you have all these different choices, and you talk to the ishmus over the waiter, and chuluchu. It's all very, very exciting. And there are millions of pratim, not millions, but there are thousands of pratim that are going into making your restaurant work. And if something happens with one of those pratim, so if it's a prat that affects you as a customer, you wanted your steak to be well done and it came back a little red, so then if you're a person that is totally, totally bewildered in this world, so you'll start screaming and yelling at some poor waiter, what's the matter with you, you're a shite, I'm never coming back here, or you just ask, can you cook it a little bit more, that's a more normal way of dealing with things. But it could be that you're fashted, you know, that your day was a little bit, you had this whole thing we're going out to eat, and it's going to be gewaldig, and something didn't come out right, or whatever it might be. All of these are pratim that are details that are part of life in the restaurant. But we understand, there's no great, noble meaning to a person going out to eat. So it was hot in the house, they didn't want to cook, or they're tired, the chreis, so they thought they'd get some... They thought that they would enjoy the ambiance of being, you know, in a room with 100 other people who are complaining and correcting. So that's a restaurant, but there's a chasna. Let's go to a different type of eating experience, a chasna, a wedding. The truth is, everybody knows that if there are a lot of things that are going on in a restaurant, there are a million things more going on at a chasna. First of all, till you get to the chasna, not just the catering and all of that, but the chasen and kala and their families, and what's going on with the dresses, ein sof with the dresses, and how it has to match, and whether it's like this or whether it's like that, and then when the kala has to walk, how the dress has to go on the ground, how it has to flow and has to look, and with the makeup they have in the kala's room, that there's a whole crew of people trying to disguise her, to make her look a certain way. But the chasen's going to find out pretty quickly what she really looks like. But there's a whole... So every Jewish kala is beautiful. It's just the golus has taken its toll on us. So, that's what Chazal say. So, there are a million details, the invitations, and then there's a whole Shaki V'Tayyah. There's a two-hour discussion between the chutan about the invitation and what kind and what kind of paper and what kind of letters and whether it's like this and whether we should put the name of this and that person, all these different things and how to what. A million pratim go into all of these things. And then when you come to the actual chasna, that's unbelievable how much goes into that day with the photographers and with the flowers and everything else that has to look a certain way and has to be a certain way. And then when it comes to the food, of course the families have to choose to decide the menu, and they'll sit and have another big shakla v'tayya, and there could be all kinds of machlokes in whether or not it should be this type of unedible food or it should be another type of unedible food. There'll be all kinds of machlokes in whether we should take the asparagus and put it inside a little holder, and what should the little holder look like, and how much should the asparagus come out from the holder, and whether or not the caterer is going to be careful to make sure that when they asparagus, I think it's, I don't know what those vegetables are, but whether or not you have to make sure to tell the caterer that they're going to come out evenly, then nobody should chas v'shalom be shocked to find that they're asparagus, which nobody could eat because these things are not for human beings, that none of the asparagus come out higher than the other asparagus. It might make somebody feel bad at the chasna. You want everybody to feel good at the chasna. He might feel bad that how come this asparagus has more v'yichas than the other one, and so on and so forth. So everything has to be with a cheshbon. And then there's a higher level of cheshbonos. Who's the Masada Kedusha? Who's the rabbi that's going to come to make the chasna? And we have to make sure it should be this Masada Kedusha. And then if he's an old man, then we're calling up for 2-3 weeks before. How are you feeling, Rabbi? Is everything okay, Rabbi? Don't forget, we have a chasna. How are you feeling? He says, I'm not feeling so well. Make sure, Rabbi, that you feel better. Make sure that you feel better by the chasna. Please, please, Rabbi. I don't know, I might need surgery. Whatever it is, Rabbi, we'll pay for it. We'll fly you in to the best hospital. But Rabbi, you make sure that you're at the chuppah, because we love you and we respect you and we want you to be the Masada Kedusha. And then we're worried that all the guys and the girls should be able to come and to dance. Dancing is a very holy thing, and it should be beautiful, and there should be good music, and the chasna kala go over the music, and they want to know what songs, and they go through the songs with the band, and don't forget, I want this song, I want this shlema kala, I want this chayim david, I want this shlema kala, I want these and the negunim that I want, and everything has to be just like this. So what happens is that sometimes Hashem Yirachem, it's possible that even intelligent people could forget that this is not the same as a restaurant. And if you forget that, oy vavay, oy vavay. Rav Hutner Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha wrote about people who live with Dfikos Lev Shel Gadlus, with a heartbeat of greatness. Heartbeats of greatness means the difference between a chasna and a restaurant is clear. A restaurant, there's no big idea, there's no great and noble goal, there's no beginning, there's no end, there's just a pastrami sandwich and some fries. And therefore, if the pastrami sandwich didn't come out so good, so that means the whole thing is butl ma'utl, what's the tachlis? Like I was talking the other Mr. Shabbos, we tried to make havdalah, so there's this fancy havdalah candle we got from some organization that we gave money to, and they sent us this, they gave us this havdalah candle. It doesn't light. It doesn't shoot my wife, and it doesn't light. And we try. So then, my wife says, because you put so much, you dip it into the wine afterwards, and that's why. So I said, I had a whole week to recover. It couldn't make it. And it's not just that. What I was saying is, the whole tachlis of this thing is that it should light on Motzei Shabbos for 30 seconds. That's all you're created for. You can't do that. I don't bother you the whole week. I don't talk to you. I don't ask you for anything. The company made you just to light for some Jew for 30 seconds so you can make Avdol. And this also you're not going to be masking. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, you see that there are things that they're supposed to, that they were created for certain tachlis. No, no. So you understand that the restaurant was just to stuff your stomach that morning, that afternoon, or night. that's all you're supposed to do. So that didn't work out right. If you got an upset stomach or the food wasn't good, so then the whole inyan of the restaurant is what is betalim of the tola shvirul karam. It's nothing. Then you're angry, Taka. You're angry. I mean, you're upset because it didn't work. But by chasna. Now, chasna, forget about if the invitation didn't come out like this, or if the dress didn't go on the floor the certain way, or if for some reason the old Rav couldn't come, or if even the rikudim, the dancing, it's something that it wasn't the way that you thought it was going to be with such a, you know, in this atlas, everything was laced, so a lot of the chevra had to leave by the first dance, and so. But Rabbi said, the tachlis of a chasna, Rav Hutner says, tfikar slavshal godless, the heartbeat of greatness. You're going to forget that a chasna is not a restaurant. A chasna, there's a chasna kala. Chasna kala means a chuppah. Chuppah v'kedushin means that we have a Jewish home. We have a Jewish home that means a new shalshelis and klayisel, a new link in the chain of our people. It means Yiddish kinder, Yiddish and the shamas. It means more Torah, more avodah. It means sitting with Yaakov and Yenni and saying with teaching Malav Beis and sitting with Sarula and davening with her. It means the reason that we were created. That's what's happening at a chasana. That's what we're here for. And we're here for because v'shachanti b'saicham, a new place that's going to be a place. There's a big crazy world. And when you're flying an airplane and you're coming in, you see there are a million things going on. And then the Baruch Shalom, like he says by Mitzrayim, that there's this house and there's an arrow that's on this house. And in this house, there's what? This chasna kala raising a Jewish family in this house. There's a kiddush, there's a havdalah, there's a Shabbos, there's a yontif in this house. What? In this house, there's v'shechanti b'soichim, there's a lubes hamikdash, the tachlis of creation is unfolding in this house. The whole world is meshigah. There are millions of people running around from Shagoyim without any tachlis, without like what Rabbi Yochum was talking about, with a mahuma and bewilderment and confusion, without any milk and honey, just the little pieces and fragments like you see from the airplane. Then there's this house, and in this house of the chasna kala, there's a shechanti b'soichem. Shechanti b'soichem. There's a shechina b'neiyan. It's a mishkan of kedusha. This is what's keeping the world going till the end, till we get to Mashiach Tzakeinu. So Vad, it's nice to have good food, and even before the invitations and the dresses, everything should work out, and all chasana makalas, and everything should go nice. And Avada, there's no question that Bez Hashem, the Rav should come, and that the dancing should be gewaldig, should be beautiful, everything should be nice, the right songs, that everybody should walk away and say, this wedding was different than every other wedding. That's the tachlis that people want, even though everybody knows that all the weddings are came out the same. What makes the wedding different is the chasna kala, and that chasna kala, and your relationship with the chasna kala. And if you for a minute forget that, then it's just a very expensive night out. It's an expensive night out for the families, mechutanim ein meladavim, an expensive, you know, like they just do this big party, and even for the guests. It's just an expensive night out. It's expensive because of the gift that you gave, and it's expensive because you left your kids. Most likely you left your family behind for 5, 6, 7 hours, which is also very expensive. It's a big price to pay. It's an expensive night. But if it's a chasen, if you remember what this is about, and you remember what the dancing means, you're creating a circle of the beginning and the end. But if a person lives without the feeling of the end, you see, that's the marshal of this world. If the question is, are you just eating in the restaurant of this world, or are you at a chasana? That's the big question. If you live with the question of, Machai Vasi Bailami, why am I here? What's the tachlis of my being in the world? Then you're able to live a life with all of its difficulties and all of the turbulence of life. You're able to feel the joy and the importance of something amazing happening before your eyes, of being at a big chasana. Your whole life is a big chasana. Because you live with the tfikus leiv shel godless, with the heartbeats of greatness. The sentence from Rav Hutner that's in the Sefer Zikaron is, Yesh anoshim shema'avaye utfikais chayeim beside hagadlus. There are some people who live with the longings and with the heartbeats of the secret of greatness, of godliness. V'yesh b'soid hakatnas. There are other Jews, there are other people who live in this world, b'soid hakatnas, in the mystery of smallness, of tininess. You know the word katan? I once spoke about this around 9-10 years ago. The word katan, katan, which means a little. Katan is from the word kat, kuftes. In Hebrew, keta means what? A piece of something, a paragraph, right? Keta, kat. Rega kat means a piece. That's what katness means. Katness means everything is just a tiny piece. Whereas godless, godol, as we learned, we spoke about this, godless, those letters, gimel, dal, always means when one thing flows into another, where there's a hemshech. Like even the Lashonis in the Gemara in Haramis, good asik. Good means gimel vavdal, gimel dal, that's shayrish, means where in halacha, where we see even though there's something, there's a space that's not filled with something, but we see a hemshech of that wall, of that mechitza, it's as if it's nimshech, it flows, it continues flowing. Therefore, guda means itself in Aramish, it means a river that flows, a current. All words that have the shayrish gimel dalet. And that's, of course, the Shevet God. This is the very beginning. We don't have time to talk about that now. That's why I spoke about it years ago. Shevet God. God Gidud Yigudenu. The whole meaning of Shevet God and what that means. But it's all a lashon of a hemshech. It means also a bridge. That one thing is connected to another thing, so it means also a bridge. All the words with Gimel Dalet. Godless means where one thing connects to the other. Katness means kat. Katua, a keta means when nothing has a hemshech into anything else. It's just a separate keta of existence. It's a separate piece. And in that life of katness, there can't be menuchas hanefesh. There can be no happiness. There can be no joy. There's no feeling of menuchas hanefesh because you're living a life that's detached from that great, great idea that joins together all of the details in the sugya. It's a big sugya. It's a hard sugya. It's a painful sugya. But I'm in the sugya. I'm in the sugya. And every single second of my life is described by the Chayrus Alevavis. Everything that you do in your life, the Chayrus Alevavis says, every single thing, whether it's a small little thing or it's a big thing, is one tachlis l'skar ve'lov yisbarach. Yushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, Allah na'al v'yirashnu v'yisrael. Every single moment of your life is Yushalayim edik. Every single second of your life is Shabbos edik. Every single second of your life is Eretz Yisrael edik. Every second is what is part of the big chasna of the beginning and the end. There are those who live outside of the chasna. And those who live outside the chasna living in a perpetual state of nav and nav, of wandering, of bewilderment and confusion, of being afraid of the anakim, of hiding from the giants that are in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that they're afraid of anything that might be big, anything that might be great, anything that might demand achrayas, anything that might demand what? That might demand a responsibility for being a part of something that's great, that's awesome, that embraces all of life and all of history. You're afraid of greatness. A person's afraid of greatness. And he wants to be forever in a place of katness. Kolev and Yeshua are described in the parish as people who had a ruach acheres. They were different. The Meraglim were great people. They were leaders and great people. But the Meraglim, even though they spoke about Kolev and Dvash, milk and honey, but in the end they retreated. They were frightened of the greatness that demanded. And only Kalev and Yeshua had this Ruach HaKharis, who had that Hargosh, that feeling of Hasogas, Amatara, that we got to get there, we're going to get there, and therefore they were able to say, Allah Nala, let's go up, we could do it. Because they felt already, while they were in the desert, the great joy, and the great strength, and the great courage that came with the certainty of knowing that this next step of Klal Yisrael's life, the step of the battle, of the war that's necessary to conquer the land. This isn't Stam, a battle. We're not talking here about Stam, people fighting. If you look at it that way, then how can we do it? They have big cities and walls and giants. We can't do it. But that's not what it is. We have to feel the heartbeat of greatness. And therefore the failure of the Meraglim was that they fell into the world of Katniss. And they themselves said that what? We saw us, they saw themselves as what? As grasshoppers, as insects. And the people in Eretz Yisrael, they're giants, we're nothing, we're insects. That was the sin of the Meraglim. The shayrish of the sin of the Meraglim was smallness. Being a cat, being a piece, being an insect, a bug. Living in a restaurant. And in a restaurant, there are a lot of problems in the restaurant. And people are cursing and complaining, the food's like this and it's like that, and they don't like this, it's too noisy, they don't like this seat, and so on. When you live a life without Eretz Yisrael, without Shabbos, without the Tzaddik, without Cholom and Dvash, without Menuchas and Nefesh, and you're living just as insects that are stuck in that keta, in that paragraph, in that fragment of life, without feeling that you're part of some great important thing, so then you lose it. You lose it. For anything you could lose it. And you could destroy your life over any tiny little thing if you forget that. And here, Rabbi Isai, I want to talk for 2 or 3 minutes to help us understand this. The Mashgiach who I spoke, who we've been learning about today, the Mashgiach from Mir Yeruchim, had a great and illustrious disciple, Rabbi Chaskel Levenstein. Reb Chaskel, a lot of people don't know where he came from. Reb Chaskel Levenstein was born in Warsaw. He came from a family of Gerach Hasidim. He was by the Tish of the Sfas Emes. That's where he came from. The Hashgacha brought this because of different things that were going on in the world that time. The Hashgacha brought Reb Chaskel to Radin. Radin, of course, was the place of the Chofetz Chaim. At that time, in Radin, Rabbi Yeruchim was Mashgiach. There was a short period of time. There was a stormy time in Radin. But there was a time that Rabbi Yeruchim was the Mashgiach. Rabbi Chaskel came, and the first shmuz that he heard from Rabbi Yeruchim, the first shmuz that shook him up to the core of his being, this little skinny chassid from Varsha, this very deep and brilliant tzaddik from Varsha, came to Radin, and he was shaken to his core by that talk that he heard, that first shmuz that he heard from Rabbi Yeruchim. And it was on the parasha. It's about tzitzis. Everybody knows what the Gemara tells us about tzitzis, that the tchelis is daim liyam. You look at the blue, and the blue of the tzitzis reminds you of the blue of the ocean, and the blue of the ocean reminds you of the blue of the sky, and then you think, and then you look at the sky and you remember what? The throne of Hashem's glory, you remember the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And Rabbi Yeruchim gave a shmuz on that, and in that shmuz he said, we have of course that shmuz is recorded, and he said, Harimataris HaMitzvah. We see from here that the tachlis of the mitzvah, tzitzis, L'ragesh es lev ha'adam, to excite, to infuse emotion into the heart of a Jew. B'zikaron kiseh ha'kavod, that he should remember the kiseh ha'kavod, to remember the throne of glory. U'b'poil rayim, so in other words, what's what Rabbi Yeruchim is saying is like this, that we see from what Chazal are telling us, that a person can, it says in the Torah, Uris on my side, the Baruch Shalom says, look at this, look! Look at what? Some strings. Lama. Look at this and see that this string is a string that is holding together, that is binding together, ties together the ocean, the sky, and to the Kisak Kavod through Rabbi Shalom. Which means, Risa Meisai is telling us, Rabbi Yochum is teaching that day, that you have to look at everything in the world and to see that there's nothing tiny in the world. That what, from this little blue string, remember, be reminded, and don't forget that what, that there's an ocean. An ocean, don't forget that there's a sky. A sky, there's a world, don't forget that there's a Rabbi Shalom. Everything in the world is that chut, like you wind around your finger to remember, the little string, not to forget. Not to forget means, machayvosi ba'olami, what is my tachlis in this world? Because you get so lost in the little pieces of blue, and forget that there's an ocean, forget there's a sky, and forget there's a creator. Shibuchim said, l'maisi si b'pol rayim shanoshim is'apsim b'tzitzis. You see that there are people that they put on the tzitzis. Mizbanin and Berkia, they look at, they have their tzitzis. They also have people that will go outside and look at the sky. They like to see things outside. V'ein ish sam alev. Nobody takes the heart. people wearing the tzitzis, people looking at skies, looking at oceans, ve'ein ish sam alev. He says, ki b'loy limud ha-musar, v'achon anafshis pnimis la'avayda. If you don't think about it, if you don't learn musar, if you don't work on it, if you don't think about it, if you don't follow through from the little string, from the little blue, and keep in your head, blue, and to remember from that, and to think from that moment of your life, to think what? Ocean, sky, Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore I'm doing something, and what am I doing, and to remember why I'm doing it and why I was put here. So Bucham says there are a lot of people that they go without that, because unless you learn and think about it, there's no hisiris. And will have no influence on your heart. It won't, just a stream, just an ocean, just the sky. Doesn't have anything to do with me. That's also just a ketah. It's also just a little piece of the universe. This string, this ocean, this sky. And you could be upset about that too and complain. It doesn't mean anything. Because it's a restaurant, not a chasna. So Reb Yochum is saying that shmuz, that the whole world is a chasna. When Reb Chaskel heard that first shmuz, he exploded. He was transformed. And there was such a transformation, such an explosion, that they didn't know what to do with him in Raden. They didn't know what to do with him. He was like, he was going out of his kelim. So they went to Chavetz Chaim, and Chavetz Chaim said to Rabbi Yochum, take Chaskel, you have to take him to that place, that amazing place that's a factory of neshamas, where they know what to do with stormy souls, and that was in kelim, to take him to the altar from kelim. In later years, Rav Chaskel was once speaking to a group of his closest disciples in Bnei Brak, and he shared with them the feeling of what happened on that day when he heard that shmuz from Yuch. And what a schutz it is that we have these words from the Mashgiach. He said, Gilisi Sham, I discovered that day in Raden, Shani Chalad, I'm sick. I discovered that I was sick. Chayli Rechonis, I was spiritually ill. Mikan ve'elach, from that day and on, when I heard that shmuz, spiritually ill means that I was living in a restaurant where everything was nice, a nice tillin, a nice bat gemara, a nice chesed, but everything was just pieces. He says, from that day and on, ha'isa haderech slula umu eres, my path was clear and shining. Listen to this now. Kol chayei hapnimim hayusulam gadol hitarus. I discovered that all of the days of my life, all of my life, was one great ladder. Each second, another rung, higher and higher to what? To hitarus, to that pureness, to Yerushalayim, to Shabbos. Every day, every night, never ending, never stopping. And then he says, Lahayli Rega Echad Atsuv. Since that day in Raden, Reb Chaskel said he was an old man, he said that. This. Since that day, I have never had a moment of sadness. And he had a very hard life. And he was a very intense person. And Sokol Sofi was nifta, whatever it was, in Chavdal, Chavhei, around 1964, 65. There are many, many people, Baruch Hashem, alive who saw him, who knew him. He said, I never had a moment of sadness. Lahayli reg echad bli tachlis. Because I never had one moment that wasn't filled with tachlis. I was on the ladder. I was on the ladder now. I wasn't just dragging around a little piece of a mitzvah, a little piece of a gemara. I was on the ladder. Bli mashmos, there wasn't a moment of my life without meaning, without mashmos. Lo rega echad shaloi savei. There was never a moment of feeling emptiness. Every moment of my life was what? He says, Hakol hayachai, umeir umole. Everything was like umole birkas Hashem, naftali saravots, and every single moment of my life became filled with light and life. Every moment since that shmuz, I haven't had a moment in my life that wasn't filled with the milk and honey of what? Of mashmos, of meaning, of tachlis, of every single tiny thing in my life taking me from the blue of the string to the blue of the ocean and the sky and the kisa covered. There's nothing small anymore in my life. B'kitzer, Rabbi Chaskel's heart began to beat with the heartbeats of greatness. What Rav Rutner was talking about. Rav Chaskel on that day heard the voice of Yeshua and Kalev. And Rav Chaskel in his own way, in his life, began to fix the sin of the Maraglim. Because the sin of the Maraglim means becoming grasshoppers, becoming insects. It means forgetting Eretz Yisrael, forgetting Yerushalayim, forgetting Eretz Zavis, Chalav and Devash. It means falling into that life of what? Of Be'itzav and Tachlana, of a life of futility where nothing is connected to anything else. Where I work and I do this and I do that, but there's no bigger plan, there's no bigger idea. Everything is a restaurant. Rav Chaskel on that day came into that life of a Re'isamais or Schartan, remembering that every single detail is part of what? Of a process of building something much greater and something much bigger. And to feel that you're on a ladder that's getting higher and higher. The Mashgiach from Chevron was a great tzaddik by the name of Rav Meir Chodesh. And I saw in the sefer that Rav Meir Chodesh used to go over from time to time when the guys were learning in the Bais Medrash, when they were chavrusa, he would walk over Rav Meir and he'd put his arm and lean over to a bacher and he would say, Eifo ata machzik b'shas, where are you holding in shas? So that to us that sounds very discouraging. Like the kid's trying to make his way through this little tesis, right? And the Mashgiach says, well, you know, what are you holding in shas? He's gefalde gemusa. What was he saying? He's saying to this boy, Yingelin, he's saying, sweetheart, listen, you have to learn this sugi. Right now you're on this tesis. Do the best you can. Learn it. But remember, it's not just a tesis. You're part of a big thing. Where are you holding in the big plan? You have to have a big plan. You have to be a plan to be a person of Torah. Call it Torah. To the best of your ability, all of Torah. Where are you holding in Shas? Because you sometimes get lost. If you get lost in that Tosfos, you know what? You could say the Tosfos 1,000 times, and you might even get it right, and you can still go outside and insult the first person that you meet on the street, and you can forget to call your mother, and you can forget to make a bracha the right way, because that piece of the Tosfos wasn't connected to anything else. Where are you holding in Shas? Where are you holding in Shas? When I saw that Maisa, I was thinking, well, you know, to try to feel the Mashgiach when you're in life, to feel a tzaddik leaning over into you saying, "Nu, v'halpin, where are you holding, Rabbi? Where are you holding? Where are you holding doesn't mean are you good or you bad. That's not what he's asking. Where are you holding means do you live with a tefikos life so godless? Are you living a small insect chagovim type of a life, like the other Meraglim? Or are you living the life of Yeshua and Kalev? Are you a Jew of Olay Nala, the irrational soul? I can do it. I can conquer it. I can do it. Are you living a tiny little life of just trying to get past this moment and figure out somehow how I could enjoy and get pleasure from this second that I'm in, regardless of whatever misery there was or whatever misery there's going to be, or even the consequences of the pleasure that I'm having? You don't even think about it. So every single second of life, the Mashgiach Rav Meir Chodesh is lifting up our heads and saying, look, you're learning, it's good, but look at the Kisei HaKavod. Don't forget, every Gemara, everything that you're doing in life is just to bring you to that point of what? Of Vayah Menucha Ki Tov has to be filled with the Yisrael, with Shabbos, with the Tzaddik, to live with the Tfikos life, Shagadlis. It's the same way when we're living Rabbi Yisai. So you can have a regular day with the children, a regular day, B'lian Har, there should be children, a regular day with the family, and that's your Tosfos for the day. That day you have that Tosfos. You either live with the Tefikos Leiv Shel Godless, with the greatness of feeling that you're in a big sugya, and you ask yourself, where am I holding in Shas? And if you do it, or you live not that way, just for that moment. If you live just for that moment, then you could yell at the kid for something small. If you live with the bigger picture, then the thought is, What is it that this child, and what is it that Hashem wants me to do for this child? And what is the tachlis of my relationship with this child? And then you don't lose it over some narishkeit. Because you always are tuned into the chasnan. You don't get lost. You don't get lost in that tiny little piece of the sugi, because there's a much, much, much bigger sugi. There's a much bigger sugi in life. And the biggest sugi, what binds together the entire sugi is Mashiach Tzakeinu. It's late. I just want to read for 1 second. From the 7th Kovitz of the writings that we have from Rav Kook, from the packages of Rav Kook's writings that were divided, there were 7 pekalach that are the substance of the iris. All of his Torahs were called iris, light. So in the 7th kovitz, iris shel Mashiach uman hiris kol ha'olam, Rav Kook writes, the light of Mashiach is lighting up the entire world. Mahafeich es kol ha'vayi l'zoya Torah. It lights up, it transforms all of reality. with the brilliance of Torah, the light of Torah. We are being called upon. It's demanded of us from the depths of our neshamas. To feel this greatness of Mashiach even now. Even though right now we only are able to feel little flashes of Mashiach's light coming into our lives. But he says that from these little bits of light that we feel, he says we have to hold on. And we have to be careful. He says, if we remain godless type of Jews, Nisha Hashem will be empty and desolate. We must right now, wherever a Jew lives, he must grab hold of that great light of Mashiach Tzakenu, that is moving forward and infusing us with the light of the ultimate redemption. This is the way that a Jew lives, even now. Believing in Mashiach is not just there's going to come sometime, it's going to be good. Believing in Mashiach is right now, to live with the excitement, a taste of that feeling of the Chalav and Drash that's going to be at the end of time. We should be Zoyche Beza Hashem. We should be Zoyche to be able to taste of that, to live every single second with Mashiach Tzakeinu, to live every second with Shabbos, with Yerushalayim, with the Tzaddik, until that ultimate time when all of these things will be brought together. And Hashem Zbaruch will show us how each and every one of us was such a precious link in that great chain of the circle of the Magalei Tzaddik, of the beginning of Bereishis, and at the end of the Gula Hashem V'Amitis, we should be Zoyche to see it. Mehem Yemeinu Amen V'Amen.